Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Thank you for coming to my channel. I'm talking about royal finances in the United Kingdom because a few days ago something unprecedented happened, and that was that His Britannic Majesty revealed his tax bill. So in the financial year 2024 to 2025, because April to April, he paid £12.9 million in tax. I think national insurance is on top of that. And that he's paid over £30 million in tax since becoming king on the 8th of September, 2022. So what can we very roughly estimate that his income is if he's paying, £13 million in tax? He's got an income of the order of £30 million, okay? The thing is, the taxable benefits, the non-taxable benefits, so we know that there's that sovereign grant of around £100 million. A lot of some of it goes directly to him. He disburses to other working royals, his sister, Princess Anne, his brother, Prince Edward, his son, Prince William. Harry doesn't get anything because he's half in, half out, no royal duties. Some of his cousins, like the Duke of Gloucester, the Duke of Kent, and so forth. But they have to be doing their public duties, as in cutting the ribbon at a new hospital ward, visiting military base or a prison or an old people's home or whatever. Okay, so they're more transparent than ever. Now, it doesn't show his total income, where he gets it, what capital gains there are, what deductions there are. There's some things might be write-offs for taxes because it was a cost of doing business. Now, for instance, your initial journey to work is not tax deductible. If, having, say, driven to the office, you then have to drive to a client meeting, that is tax deductible. If you're living in Manchester and have to get the train to Dundee or something for a one-off meeting, that's different. You have to fly on a business trip to Geneva, that's tax deductible. Anything, things you would need to buy, equipment you need to buy for your work, that's tax deductible. It doesn't count as income. Self-education, loads of things are tax deductible. If you work from home, depending what percentage of your home you use for work, then there's, I can't figure out, a certain percentage of the mortgage or the rent or the electricity, so on, that is tax deductible. So there are all sorts of ways of writing off. And of course, he will employ the most cunning accountants out there. I remember a tax lawyer from the United States said, pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered. So to use these reasonable expenses, that won't be challenged. But if you're too greedy about it, then they will realize you're lying. But come on, who's going to challenge His Gracious Majesty? Okay, so they didn't pay income tax at all. And after 1992, that Windsor Castle fire, and it came to light that the taxpayer was going to pay for a lot of the repairs. People saying, well, you know, you're going to have to pay income tax. And then Elizabeth II agreed that she would pay income tax. Some say it's a nonsense because she's paying it to herself, or she's not really. This is not her personal fiefdom. If the taxpayer is going to stump up the repair costs, you've got to do this. Incidentally, until that time, Windsor Castle was free to visit. And then they opened Buckingham Palace to the public. Did that let too much daylight in the magic? Did that spoil the mystique of it? But it raised funds, because some things are publicly owned: Buckingham Palace and Clarence House and St. James's Palace, which is never owned to the public, and Windsor Castle. Balmoral's privately owned, Gatcombe Park's privately owned, Highgrove is privately owned, Sandringham was privately owned. If the monarchy were abolished in the United Kingdom, the House of Windsor would still own those ones. So there's also about the Duchy of Lancaster, the Duchy of Cornwall. They're both, Prince William has got both those. He gets an income from these ones, from various government bodies, even the prison. He was renting out space there. And we see how there are videos exposing how he's a rack-renting landlord, not benign. And the king, he used to own the Holiday Inn in Reading, despite being against modern architecture. All right. So the sovereign grant comes at the Crown Estate profits, because you go back to the 18th century when the monarchy was property rich but cash poor. A deal was made whereby the proceeds and various of the things of the Crown Estate, rents or even just selling food that was produced there, would go to the Exchequer, and return there'd be some sovereign grant money voted by Parliament. And that's reviewed every 10 years. I remember in 1992, it was agreed not to increase it. Did increase to 2002. So it was frozen for 20 years. Inflation really ate away at that. That is a very impressive economy. No other government and department would have no increase for 20 years. All right, so £100 million. Now, in the grand scheme of things, that is not very much money. You know, the United Kingdom spends over £1.5 trillion per year of taxpayers' money. So it's like a drop in the ocean. But I realise we should all be about candle ends and cheese pairings, as William Ewart Gladstone would have said that squandering money is a very real moral evil. The government should try to spend as little money as possible, not as much. It's the people's money. It's not the government's money. The government should only spend money which is absolutely necessary. They can really justify it. And we've got to get value for money, spend that as efficiently as possible. Whatever we're spending, we should get the most out of that we possibly can, in quantity, in quality, in both. And obviously, any head of state is going to cost you something. But obviously, it's even more contentious with the monarchy. Some people are against the monarchy on principle. We don't get to select the monarch and so forth. Okay. So he does pay tax and voluntarily as well. But the opacity around his financial affairs, that irks some people. We don't know what expenses were deducted. We don't know how much income comes from these various duchies. The Duchy of Cornwall is not just the county of Cornwall. It's various properties in various parts of the UK that all put together is called the Duchy of Cornwall estate. Likewise, the Duchy of Lancaster and so forth. What happened to royal assets, we don't know. What's the relationship between public funds and private royal wealth? How much they got offshore? Some of that came out in the Panama Papers 10 years ago. So some people don't like, what's going on? Do they live too well? But we want them to be decently turned out. Some of it goes on security costs, maintenance of Buckingham Palace. It then came to light they spent, was it £350 million of taxpayers' money doing up Buckingham Palace, but the king's not even going to live in it. They don't like it. He lives in Clarence House when he's in London, lives in Windsor Castle. Otherwise, it's got various other properties around the place. Windsor Castle use the throne room or the garden for various ceremonies, but they won't actually live there like his late mother did. And so that's annoying some people. So there's a multi-year program on renovations. And that's been using Windsor Castle for state visits recently. So some people will take exception to that. When there's a lot of belt tightening, it's not a good look. This money was wasted, as some people would see it. Goodness. I mean, the next big project is the House of Parliament. That has been urgently in repairs. It's been known since 2010. Such as the lassitude and lethargy of the British state. So palsied it is that it just can't make a decision and do it. It had a vote for this years ago, and nobody's grasping the nettle. It's been politically unacceptable, saying these politicians are spending money themselves. No, they're spending on a public building that's been there for almost 200 years, will hopefully be there for many more centuries. And the later you leave it, the worse and worse it gets. I mean, a stitch in time saves nine. What say you? Does the House of Windsor get too much public money, or about the right amount, or not enough? I mean, I'm reminded to say a little bit too much. You see, I'm an ardent monarchist, and by slimming it down, having a bicycling monarchy, a Danish, Norwegian, a Swedish one, then that would make it more acceptable. We would take some of the argument out of the anti-monarchists. We would disarm them by slimming it down and not wasting too much money. They'd have to live relatively simply, like, you know, the King of Denmark going around by bus in ordinary clothes when he's not on public duties. Abolish the monarchy. Why do you want to do that? And I wonder what non-political figure would be most likely to be elected president of the United Republic if the UK were to become one. I think Stephen Fry would have been Richard Attenborough. Who else are you can think of? Stephen Fry was a member of the Labour Party. Can you think any others would have been David Beckham in the old days? Cilla Black when she was alive? All right. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon and any PayPal, georgecallan790@gmail.com. Goodbye.